Psalm 22. And then I'm going to read a verse in Job 25, or verse 2 there, 3. 1 in Psalm 22. Well, you might have never heard a message like this that I'm going to preach tonight. I hadn't. And I hope the Lord might use it to be a blessing to you. Look at Psalm 22 and verse number 6. Psalm 22 and verse number 6. Everybody listen. Everybody look at your Bibles. That goes off. Psalm 22. And verse 6. There you go. Psalm 22:6. Ringing bell. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. That first part, I am a worm. I reckon David must have bound to have needed to go see a psychologist and take a course in raising his self-esteem, don't you? Surely that boy had problems claiming to be a worm. You know what David's problem was? David just had a low self-esteem. He needed to have a higher image of himself, didn't he? That's what he'd be told today. You go around nowadays and say, I'm a worm. And people say, no, quit being so down on yourself. You're great. God didn't make no junk. But they are forgetting God didn't make us like we are right now. We are the product of a sinful, fallen nature. When a man says, we're all in the image of God, he's nuttier than a fruitcake. We ain't in the image of God. All men ain't created equal. They ain't never been but one man created. The rest of us is born. Come on now, stay with me. Do you read the Bible or do you read the NAACP, AA, Triple Z, HELL literature? Now, I ain't going to be as bad as last Sunday night, Lord willing. But listen, brother, this thing, the Bible terminal, they ain't never been but one man created. And he was created the image of God. Then he fell, and Adam's son was in his image. You in your papa's image, your daddy, your earthly daddy. Christ is the image of God. So when Jesus comes and died on the cross, he died so that we could get back the image of God that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. That's the way it really is. So, you know, all this stuff about all men created equal, that's a bunch of junk. There ain't never been but one person created. Adam, and then, of course, Eve. Adam was made out of nothing. Eve was made out of his rib. The rest of us got here by nurseries. All right? So David sure had a problem with it, didn't he? Poor old boy. He needed to realize that there's something great and great potential in us all. That ain't what he said. That ain't what he said. Listen, Americans don't need their self-esteem risen tonight. There's never been a time in history when people thought as hot stuff like they do now. That's right. Now, Job 25. Things are ringing every time I bend over. Testing. What? Job 25. How then can man be just with God? That's Job 25, verse 4. Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, some worms I have known. And that's awful. That's an awful thing. But the Bible compares us to a worm. Now God, I'm going to go through this. I'm going to give you some. It's like a documentary tonight. So you listen real carefully. So God is so great and glorious that you can't think of nothing to compare and be as great as he is. On the other hand, men are so low and base and low down that you compare them to things like the earth, dust, grass, vanity, and here, a worm. When they come out to get their movie star awards on the Grammys and the Emmys, and they all stand up and go, and they're all in there in their tuxes, $300 suits and $1,000 dresses. You know what God says about them? God said they're like grass. Going to cut them down pretty soon. Go out and mow the grass. God said they're vanity. God said it's less than vanity. We have a bad problem in America of making gods out of worms. And we have a place, like if Michael Jordan walked in here tonight, you talk about a crowd, Lord have mercy. I ain't got nothing against him. He's a good ball player and all of that. But I'm telling you, he's a worm. And so are you. And so is every member of the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Redskins. Bunch of worms. Worms! Worms, according to the Bible. You say, boy, they're big worms. There's different sizes of worms. Like, I'm gonna be telling you all about different kinds in just a few minutes. Here, all is vanity, and the Bible compares us to nothing but a worm. Now, let me give you, first of all, comparison between men and worms. Number one, a worm has its original form in the earth. Right out of the dirt. That's where you and I come from. We're not no big shot that parachuted down here from Alpha Centauri somewhere, stepped out of a spaceship. We come right out of the dust of the ground. When God made Adam, he didn't even use good dirt. He used dust. Just like dust, you know, just wipe something off like that. And made Adam out of the dust of the earth. So, man in his natural state is nothing but right out of the ground. Number two, a worm lives on the earth and loves the earth and makes the earth his abode. So does man in his natural state. According to the book of Amos chapter 2, man likes to just wallow in this old world and he loves this world. He's earthbound. He's stuck to this little planet and all this great big universe. Number three, a worm hath no beauty and it is contemptible. I mean, when you look at a worm, you've never said, boy, that is the prettiest worm. I mean, they don't have nothing about them that's attractive. The only way a worm could get anybody to be impressed with it would be to put on a big act and get full of the devil. And so men are the same way. Did you know tonight, Brother Ricky's talking about not taking a bath or something like that? You go for 6 years and don't take one bath and don't brush your teeth. Buddy, I'll guarantee you any dog in town have better teeth than you will. And brother, I'm telling you what, we're low down. We are scumballs. We are sleaze. You hear me? We're no good. You say, good night. I ain't never been to a church where the preacher said we was all a bunch of sleaze. That is the Bible picture of the way God looks at us. And buddy, he looks at every big shot in the country. Now you can take an old ball of sleaze like this and clean it up and pat some aftershave on it, you know, and comb its mop and brush its teeth and put some clothes on it and everything. And you might say, well, that's presentable, but in our natural state this evening, we're nothing. He's a lump of sin, pollution. We're rotten. And brother, I'm telling you, number four, a worm lies, just lays around obnoxious to dangers that could happen. Every foot that steps on the ground could crush it at any minute, and it knows not. It don't realize. I mean, just wallowing at any time. Here comes a big 10-tip triple E and just put it into eternity just like that. And boy, they don't realize the trouble that they're in. So is man. Here on this earth, we're open to the dangers of sin, Satan, and the devil. We're open to it. And the devil sees that. Not only that, but a worm is a small thing. And a small thing may spoil it. It may kill it and destroy a worm. So is man. We're open to many dangers. Just a little old thing, a dog can come up and just grab a worm, shake it in his teeth like that and kill it. Now you and I are the same way. It don't take much to bump us off. These guys get on TV and I've seen these guys get on there, you know, and they put about a half a can of Vaseline all over them. And well, anybody looks like they got muscles with Vaseline all over them. And well, you know, they do one of these things. You know, them women's what really look sick. I mean, when they start doing that stuff, that is about the most sickening looking thing. You want a picture of a worm? There is one right there. And boy, I'll tell you, they get on that. You know what that is? They're not that strong. A little bitty thing can take away their natural. They can look, they can bench press 300 pounds like this and go sit down and eat a piece of bread and get it hung in their windpipe and die. And 5 minutes. Amen? The biggest, strongest, toughest, meanest dude in the country can walk out that door, sit down and put his hand here and get bit by a spider and be dead in hell in a few minutes. I heard about a man who pulled a hair out of his nose and died. That's right. I mean, you know, he reached and one sticking way out there. He grabbed it, pulled it out, and infection got in there, went up to his brain, killed him. A hair out of his nose. You say, Lord, I next time I see some of you fellows, you look like a walrus. You say, I ain't going to do that no more. I'm telling you, you ain't as big and tough as you think you are. God, I mean, all it takes is a little thing to bump you off. Something, you can walk out there and something will fall over and kill you. Something can fall off the house and bust your brains out. There's been people running down the interstate and somebody put a full brick through the windshield and kill them just like that. That's why our lives are so feeble and so frail, we could lose it any time. And then number six, a worm cannot deliver itself from its enemies. Except just every now and then, although sometimes it may, it is helpless prey normally. Now sometimes the worm might feel the ground shaking and feel like there's some hunter or some fisherman trying to come and get him and weasel down in his hole real quick and get down in there and say, I got away. And boy, that's just like poor sinful human beings. That devil comes tramping along, risk wrecking and seeking whom he may devour, and some few sinners run to the Lord Jesus and find safety in the refuge, in the rock of ages. And then the next, number seven, the seventh comparison to a worm to a man is a worm is a creature that is prey to the fowls of heaven. Them old hawks and them or blue jays or whatever eats worms, all them different kind of birds. Boy, they fly over and spot one. There he is. Shoot. And you've seen them go flying off with them in their beak. Like that, ain't you? Hanging off both sides. Helpless boy, down the hatch, right down the throat of that old bird, whatever it is that gets it. Now in the Bible, fowls picture demons. Anytime you read about the fowls of the air in the Bible, it's a picture of demons. When our young people, when they go out over there, listen to me, when our young people go over there to East Junior High, when our teenagers go up here to McDowell High School, when you go out to the shopping malls, or especially somewhere like a rock concert, you are just like a worm crawling on the ground and there's a million birds hovering over saying, there's one, get him. Cut it. It's a little bracelet belongs to somebody here. Anybody owns this thing, come up here and get it. And God had you to drop that thing here while the choir was singing. And buddy, he grabs that thing. Right, there you go. There you go. There you go. As a lady told me one time, she said, I let my 13-year-old daughter, hear me, mamas. She said, I let my 13-year-old daughter go to a rock concert in Charlotte. And she said she has never been the same from that day till this. I can't do nothing with her. She won't. You know what? Bird picked her. And she's a helpless worm. All right? Demons are taking them captive by the Bible said, by the devil at his own will. So the second part of the message tonight, right quickly, let me show you some worms I have known. There's many different kinds. I didn't realize it till I started studying. I've been studying worms this week. You may hear all these people bragging about their preacher at their church who've got these PhDs and great degrees from colleges. You tell them your preacher knows about worms, buddy. They ain't got nothing on us. I'm telling you this evening, there are many kinds. I got out my encyclopedia. I begin to look. Boy, you'd be surprised what I found. I found that some are great, some are small, some of them are 2.5 centimeters long, others go up to 20 feet. I'll tell you more about them in a minute. But I want to tell you, brother, they are compared to people, and I have known people that fit every one of these categories that I'm getting ready to give you this evening. Number one, and they are the dunghill worms. There is what's called a dunghill. You know what dung is? You know, it's amazing how come these new modern versions of the Bible don't translate that word in the modern street language. Amen! Bunch of hypocrites. I'm telling you, you know what dung is? It's human waste. It's manure, buddy. And the Bible tells us what these worms are. There is the dunghill worm. And the first one I'm going to talk about tonight is the dunghill worm. You know what? He lives in the muck. I mean, they just slimes around. And what was called, back in the Bible, they had the dunghill. They had a septic tank, same thing. The septic tank is an underground dunghill. And boy, I'll tell you, they put it out there, they'd take it in wheelbarrows and just dump it out there. And it come back, you know, several times a day, man. And you know, had great big pile. And people go out there and it'd be this old worms just working alive in that muck, in that filth, in that rotten, stinking mess. And buddy, I mean, you couldn't get no more low down. You couldn't get no more slimy if you tried. Now, I want to say this evening, I've met some people on this earth that were just exactly like that. All they want to do is wallow around in the filth, in the muck, in the mire. Listen, hey, anybody in here shacking up that ain't mad? You're a dunghill worm. You say, I don't like it. Well, get out of the dung, brother. Hey, that's a dunghill. That's trash. That's filth. That's slime. Just like you wouldn't crawl around in a sewage pile, would you? Listen, you know what a dunghill worm is? He's a fellow that deals in pornography. He's a fellow that gets them old X-rated videos. Have you heard now they've got a new rating on movies and it's called NC-17 and there ain't gonna be no X's no more if it passes. And brother, NC-17 will take the place of the former X reading. So when you see a movie rated NC-17, it would have been X before that. And what they'll do, they'll move the R's down to PG, the PG's down to P, and they'll do away with the P's altogether. That's a dunghill. We are so used to smuck in this society and smut and filth and rottenness that we don't think nothing about it. But according to God's word, it's slime. It's sleaze. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to help you. These bathhouses, these homosexual bathhouses in San Francisco are nothing more than spiritual dunghills where unregenerate worms waller in the muck and mire and disease of their own filthy flesh. The Bible said in the book of Jude, these filthy dreamers despise dignities. Buddy, we're living in a world full of dunghill worms that are fooling around. I know these men, you do too. All they do is get these old nasty books where there's several adults in one room. All that is just a bunch of old slimy, nasty worms swarming around in muck and mire. Sure, they may have on fancy designer clothes. Sure, they may have on the most expensive cologne. Sure, they may ride in Cadillacs and Lincoln Continentals. But when God looks at it, He sees it as a slimy pile of filth. Secondly, there's carrion worms. They live in rotten, putrefying flesh. They're low down. They're crooks. They're cheating people. They're liars. You know anybody like that? Next time somebody tells you a liar, cheats you on your job, say, "You carrion worm, you." They'll say, "What? I said you carrion worm. You live in rotten, putrefying sin." I'm telling you, brother, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but I'm going to tell you about those good worms in a minute. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they are rotten, and it is putrefying. But then the third one tonight is what's called a canker worm. Now, a canker worm is also like a palmer worm or a caterpillar. They destroy things. They tear things up. They ruin flowers, and they ruin trees. They tear up the garden. They mess everything up. They get the fruit. Buddy, I've known a bunch of them like that. You get a good garden growing for the glory of God, see people saved, and get a good church going, and here comes these canker worms. And they begin to eat at your congregation. They begin to get individuals off. You see, they're too sorry and low down to go get them their own converts. So what they'll do is when we get somebody saved, they'll come over here and they'll say, Hey, what's your name? Gary? Is that right? Come here, Gary. I'm going to take you over here and tell you something. Did you know that your church is wrong? They don't know what they're talking about over there at New Manna. You just better come over here and go with my group. Come on, Gary. Come on. You know what they're going to do? That's just like eating. That's just like eating a little bit of that leaf off of that fruit in your garden. You can go sit down. Hey, boy, I tell you, just eating away at you and eating away at you and eating away at you. I talked to a preacher not long ago. He said God was blessing our little church that I started. He had started about 10 years ago. He said we got up to 100 people. And he said I had two Bible school graduates come and help me out. And now we're down to 20. He said I thought them boys would be a blessing to me. They were preachers. And I was going to let them help me teach the word of God and all that. Our church grew from 100 to 20. They're canker worms. They some people that every church they ever go to dries up and dies. They're a caterpillar, man. Thank you, BJ. I'm telling you tonight, brother, it's not right to let them canker worms ruin the house of the Lord. I tell you what, I never have tried to run nobody off. But there's been a few when they did lead, I didn't shed no tears over it. Now, I know some country churches, well, the greatest thing could possibly happen to them would be a bunch of people die. That's awful, but it's the truth. Buddy, a bunch of old worms in there. They won't let no fruit grow. They've had their Sunday school class for 275 years, and they don't want no young convert coming up and getting their job. I'm telling you, brother, it's just a bunch of old worms like that taking over. Well, let's go on to another one right quick before I get off on that. How about them hookworms? Now, I learned that a hookworm is a parasite that causes diseases in humans. I thought about a rock song group I used to hear a long time ago called Dr. Hook. And I thought about all that stuff about getting hooked. And I thought about these girls that stand out there and sell their bodies called hookers. I thought about all of a sudden, I said, "Lord, in mercy, there's a hookworms right there. Some worms I have known." The Bible wasn't joking when he said, "How much less is man who is a worm?" You may be here for the first time in your life and you say, "Lord, in mercy, I will not go to a church where the preacher gets up and calls everybody worm." I'm telling you what the Bible says tonight. The Bible compares us to worms, and the only help for us is God doing something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. When a person gets on drugs, you know what they say about marijuana? They say there's nothing wrong with smoking a joint every now and then because marijuana is absolutely harmless and it's non-habit forming. Now, you know what they don't realize? You might take it and medically tear it apart and medically prove that it might not be a habit forming to the human system. But you're forgetting something. You're made up of more than a human system. And you can get hooked on something that is not medically. You can get hooked on pornography. That's got nothing to do with your system. Amen? And every time, hear me, when a person starts smoking pot, that is a door open to harder drugs. And the first thing you know, you want it every day. Guy told me one night, he goes by the beer store every day. As soon as he gets off work and gets him a six pack and drinks it on the way home and claims he's not hooked on it. He is hooked on it too. When you get to where you think about that beer every day and you got to have, I don't care if it's one or two, if you got to have that one every day, you're an alcoholic, friend. Amen? If you've got to have alcohol coming into your system, you say, well, I don't believe that. Okay, go start your own church and preach anything you want to, okay? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, brother, if you've got to have alcohol in your system, it's already become a part of you. And just because you don't lay down and throw up and waller over in it, don't mean you haven't developed a dependency on that thing. Hell, hookworms got in you. Same thing with alcohol as with drugs of any kind and any kind of wicked habit that gets a hold of you. It's a devil. Put that old hook inside you. And I've known some people that's like that. Tapeworm. You ever heard of tapeworm?
Chew.
They get in your intestines. They're carried in by dogs and cats. Dog eats something, carries in, somehow or another it gets in some. You touch it, somehow or another you eat it, it gets in your intestines. They can lay like millions of eggs. They found tapeworms 30 feet long. I mean, from here to that wall over there. Shoo. Lordy, I mean, think of that. Inside your stomach. Let me give you another one. There's the leech. I didn't know a leech was a worm, but that's what the encyclopedia said. You know what it said the leech was? It said it's a bloodsucker. It's a spiritual vampire, brother. I mean, brother, it's what, brother? I mean, it's a spiritual Dracula. Buddy, I've known some of them. They just go around and suck the blood out of everything. They're leeches, man. I mean, they wouldn't give a dime to the work of God if their life depended on it. But boy, I tell you, they want you to come to their house. They want you to take care of them when they're sick. They want every bit of good they can squeeze out of the church. They want to park on that nice parking lot out there, sit in here and enjoy these nice, warm atmosphere and these beautiful lights and those nice pews and all that. But boy, they just suck the blood. I mean, just drain it. I've seen them go from church to church just a mooching off them. We used to have one fella come up there in the old building, and I believe honest, the only reason he come was to bum money. He'd come up to somebody after church and say, listen, I ain't got no groceries. Can you help me out? They'd give him $5. He'd go over here and say, listen, I ain't got no money. Can you help me? He'd leave every service with 25 to 50 to 75 bucks. And boy, I picture somebody like that. They're just like a tick, man. I mean, they're just like a religious leech going around just sucking the blood and the life out of everything they come to. I don't want to be that kind of a worm to you. Reminds me like that little old boy's down in the basement and his mom kept hollering at him, what you doing down there, boy? He said, I was eating grapes. She said, where are you getting them grapes? He said, off the dog. Yes, sir. You know what a leech does? He feeds on decaying life. Hey, them leeches look down, they say, shoo, there's an old rotten, nasty somebody. Yep. Hey, you teenagers here, you kids that ride buses, all that, listen. Them leeches are after you. Hey, you know what I read? I never knew this till I studied it. that a leech has both male and female reproductive system? I seen that and I said, I seen them leeches on Donahue. Wow! My soul! We have found the answer! That's what they are! They're leeches! They ain't satisfied being a boy with all the nice looking girls in the world. They're not satisfied being a girl with all the handsome young men in the world. They want to be both and suck the blood out of each of them. So a leech is the original transvestite. What doctrine, man? I mean, think about that. They're bloodsuckers. They feast off decaying life. They're filthy. Then there's the glowworm. The glowworm deceives the eyes, seeming to be something that they are not. Shine, little glowworm, glitter. Glitter, shine, little glowworm. Glitter, glitter. Somebody said, as walking through the woods, back before they had a lot of light, they saw a glowworm. They said, it's a fire. But it wasn't no fire. Sometimes you see something that you think is a fire that ain't a fire. It's a fake. Oh, we got plenty of that, amen? We sure got plenty of that. They're a hypocrite. They claim to be something that they're not. Boy, they'll sing in a choir like everything is just wonderful, but they have no real fire. They have no real warmth. They have no real life. They're simply a glowworm. They're like some of these traveling salesmen. They're like some of these famous preachers. They're like some of these people who say, I'm this and I'm that, but ain't nothing they claim to be. They're glowworms. I've been to a few places where I thought I seen some fire too. Couldn't find out it wasn't no fire. I've heard people say, well, I'm going down here to such and such church and all that, and I know, and I mean, they don't run around, scream, holler, and shout, but they're good people. I don't think you have to run around, scream, holler, and shout. But I tell you something. All that glitters ain't gold. And just because a church reads the Bible and has singing and preaching don't necessarily mean there's anything there at all. Might be a glowworm. Well, let me give you a good one right quickly. Here's a good one. And that, thank God, is the silkworm. You know, I read about these things, and I said, that's what God makes His kids. Well, if God saved you, He wants to make you into, if you gotta be a worm, be the best one you can be. And the best worm there is a silkworm. As a matter of fact, the silkworms are so valuable to humanity, and so valuable to our existence and our economy and all of that. A nightgown or a shirt or something, and it's made out of that, then you know that silk has, it's called the queen of fibers. It is the strongest of all natural fibers. And did you know, I didn't know this, but they said that a thread of silk, just like one little string of silk, is stronger than the thread the same size of some kinds of steel. It's very, very strong for the matter that makes it up. Not only that, the silk is able to stretch. It can be stretched and abused, but will return right back to its original form. You just can't hardly mess it up. I mean, no matter how much trouble it has, it just gets right back in there. And the Bible said, a righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You just heard a testimony from one while ago. Good old silkworm sitting right over there. I mean, it's just like when God makes something out of silk. It's strong, folks. It can take a beating, and it shines, and it's real, and it's valuable. That's the kind you want to be. It can be dyed deeper color with more brilliance than other fabrics. And listen to this. They said that seal hardly ever needs any ironing. Resists wrinkles. You know what? I like that where the Bible said that the church is without spot and without wrinkle. Boy, you can just shake that seal like that. You know, like this shirt I got on. Buddy, you talk about something wrinkle, son. That's sweat right there. But stuff. Watch, I can just do it like that, and it'll stay like that. That's cotton. And I like it because it feels good. But boy, that's the way cotton is. I'm telling you tonight, but that silk, you can do silk like that, it just straightens right back out. That's the way we ought to be. We ought to be letting her out of silk and be the most valuable material that we can be for the glory of God. Well, I read this. I'm going to be closing just a minute or two here. Young silkworms, when they hatch out a bunch of them things, they put them on trays. And they put these little silkworms on trays, and these trays are kept spotless so they won't get a disease and die. And I thought, Lord, that's what our new converts are. They're just a bunch of little baby silkworms. And we put them in that clay, sir, and that clay, sir. And we put them on these little trays all over this place on Sunday. And that's why a Sunday school teacher needs to be filled with the power of God when they get up on Sunday morning, and the church needs to be clean. We need to keep this place clean so these little silkworms won't get a disease growing up. I'm telling you, brother, the church is the last clean place on earth. The TV ain't clean. The radio ain't clean. The schools ain't clean. The world ain't clean. The malls ain't clean. The factories ain't clean. There ought to be one place in the world where people can come and say, this place is clean. This place has no disease. It ought to be right here in this little silk farm called New Manor Baptist Church. They said them little silkworms have enormous appetites. They eat constantly. Ain't that something? You know, when a person gets right with God, you know what they want? You hear me? The Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. When a person really gets saved, they're going to hunger after that book. You're going to have an appetite. You ain't never seen a baby in your life that you had to make eat. They're all born hungry. Amen? I'm not the judge between them and God, but I have a hard time putting a whole lot of faith in these conversions that people make and never go to church, never read the Bible, never change. I'm not God, that's between them and the Lord. But I'll guarantee you one thing, if you see a baby in the hospital that won't eat, that baby's sick. Or dead. Amen? Boy, I remember when I first got saved, I said, what? I said, I want to get me a Bible. Where do they sell them? I went uptown here when the old Roses was on Main Street. I walked in there and found the Bible. I bought me a little, I think I still got it. It's about that big. One of them little zippers. Go around it like that. Boy, I got that thing and I began to read it. I had an appetite. Hey, teenagers. You know, we're about near the end of 1990. I want to challenge everybody in here to get in that book in 1991. I've been fussing at my daughter. I've been telling Carrie. I said, read your Bible. And she has Bible class at school, and they learn Bible verses and all that stuff. But I said, you need to read it. Grow. All these kids need to be learning to read that Bible. That's how you grow, reading that book. They soon grow to 70 times their size when they were born. They grow fast. Silkworm does. I mean, first time you see them, they're just sitting here, and they're old hippie looking, you know, and real rough looking, everything. You come back pretty soon, they're like Nathan was up here a while ago, having the Bible, you know, and a tie on, saying, I'd rather have Jesus and all that stuff. They grow fast. These little silkworms do. I mean, they just, they turn into a big worm mighty fast. I mean, don't get the big head because you are still a worm. But thank God you're the best kind they are. And I tell you tonight, brother, we have no reason to brag because we are worms and we are feeble and we are base and we are contemptible. But thank God if you got to be a worm, be the best one you can be. And it ain't a canker worm and it ain't a tapeworm and it ain't a hookworm or a carry-on a dunghill worm. Thank God it's a silkworm. I read that a silkworm's body has 12 sections. I don't know what that means. 12 gates of heaven or something. And 3 pairs of legs. 6 legs. Oh, Lord, I'm literally, now to tell you the truth, I'm glad we don't have really 6 legs. I mean, I'm only buying hose right now every 2 or 3 days for one person with 2 legs. So if all my girls had 6 legs each, buddy, I tell you what, them legs company would probably appreciate that. Or Sheer Energy or something, whatever they call them things. I'm telling you, brother, I thought, hallelujah, have 6 legs. Think of, and you know who I thought about when I was studying? I said, I know some 1,000-legged worms. They get more done. That's what muff is. 1,000-legged worm. work all day, raise a daughter, work the bookstore, do tape, da-da-da. We got them around here. I mean, they just, they got a lot of legs, buddy. I mean, it's hard to keep up with them. Them 1,000-legged worms, them amaze me. You ever seen them things? They call them 1,000-legged worms. I don't know how many legs they got, but buddy, there's a bunch of them. I mean, you can just see them. It's almost like they're on a little track. I'm moving like him. And all them legs, and they're just cruising. They don't walk, you know, in shock. They're just cruise like this. They got so many legs, bunny, they don't have a break in their speed. They just keep going right on. Yeah, boy. That's how so much people get so much stuff done. Get on the ball. Don't be lazy. Be a silkworm. I mean, get your legs a-moving. Get on visitation. Knock on somebody's door. Be a soul winner. Get out there and give out track. Do something for the glory of God. Well, that's about all the worms I found, but I was going to close there, but Corey, my youngest daughter, added one more. And I'm going to put the one she added here at the end of the message and close. And I was studying this, and I was reading, I had all these pictures of these worms out here like this. And she come up and she said, Daddy, what are you reading? And I said, I'm reading about worms, honey. Look at all them worms right there. And she said, gummy worms? And I said, okay, there's my last one, gummy worms. They ain't encyclopedia, because they have been invented since encyclopedia was written. But I close tonight to say, I have known some people that was like a gummy worm. You know what a gummy worm is? Well, they ain't a real worm. And they're all these pretty bright little colors, and they're sweet. You know who I thought about? Some worms I have known. Now, who have I known that was bright and colorful and smelt good and sweet and come in, but all they do is give you a bellyache and rot your teeth? I said, I know who it is. It's these low-down boys that come in here and mess up our good Christian girls. I've seen our good Christian girls. They're up here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Have the victory. And the first thing you know, they come in, sit down way back there in the back with a gummy worm. And oh, he's sweet. And oh, he just, he's just so soft. You can just squeeze him. And boy, I mean, you can just dangle him around like that. And he don't stink like these other worms. And boy, I tell you what, he's got all, he's so pretty. And he's, you can see through him and all of that stuff. But I tell you what, girls, but I tell you, it ain't long till that old thing done got in you. He done rotted in your gut. He's done messed up your pretty Christian smile. now. You can't grin for Jesus no more because you done messed up with a gummy worm. He ain't him a real worm. You say, but he's cute and I like him. He's getting ready to ruin your life, what he's getting ready to do. All gummy worms claim to be Christians. That is, if you're a Christian. And you can meet them out there riding around the Pizza Hut. Well, my preacher told me not to date nobody that wasn't a Christian. Are you a Christian? Oh, sure, baby. Will you come to my church with me? Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll come with you Sunday night. But now let's sit way in the back. And he sits back there like this. And he looks at me like, I'm going to endure you. You ain't going to get to me. Now, there's only one reason I'm here. That's to trick this dumb girl right here into thinking that I'm a Christian until I get what I want from her, and I'll rot her gut and rot her teeth out of her head. She'll never shine for Jesus no more. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. The Lord gave it to Corey to give to me to give to you. Watch out for them gummy worms. They ain't one bit healthy. I mean, doctor ain't going to prescribe in nutrition in your diet a gummy worm. God ain't gonna send you a low down bum that won't serve him. Let me tell you what, girls. You girls, if you want a boyfriend, make up your mind. You say, I'm gonna get one. They're all Christians. Everybody's Christian. There ain't nobody that ain't a Christian. When you start talking to them like it, make up your mind and say, I'm gonna get one that loves God. Not just a Christian that loves God. I ain't talking about going to church on Sunday morning, neither. I'm talking about, listen, you know how a boy's going to treat you? He's going to treat you like he treats his mama. You look how he treats his mama, that's how he treats you. You look at how he respects his mother, you look at how his daddy treats his mother, that's how he'll treat you. Unless God doesn't work in his life. So beware, ladies. I mean, you got to date a worm. Some, and them others, you know you ain't going to fool with them. So make sure you get a silk one. One that's real. Not one that puts on and acts like he's something that he's not. Amen? Let's stand by our heads. All right, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing and go home. Father, get us a song. I don't guess this is going to be really much of a formal invitation. If you want to come and pray, you can. I just give you a little documentary on what David meant when he said, behold, I am a worm. In closing tonight, while your heads are bowed, let me give you a few practical lessons right quick. The practical lessons are these. Listen carefully. Number one, don't admire the flesh. Nobody's flesh. Because we're all worms. Number two, don't envy nobody in this world. Don't look at them Hollywood movie stars and say, doggone, they got it made. I wish I was them. Listen, they're a worm just like you are. Number three, don't overvalue your own life. It's nothing. What is our life? I mean, you're a worm. So am I. Number four, a person's a fool to try to fight against God. He can smash you anytime he wants to. And number five, how wonderful God is to be mindful of a bunch of worms like us. Heavenly Father, bless the message to the hearing of the people. I pray, dear God, that you'd help every person to take this message in the Spirit. I hope and tried to deliver it. Lord, that they won't be hurt, but they'll be helped. And help them to know I love them and want to help them. In Jesus' name we pray.